Mary Fallon was sworn in as the state's 27th governor in January 2011. As governor, her priorities include job growth and retention, increasing government modernization and efficiency, reforming our education system, and protecting Oklahoma from costly federal mandates. Governor Fallon made her first foray into public service in 1990 when she was elected to the House, Oklahoma House of Representatives. In 1994, Governor Fallon made history by becoming the first woman and first Republican to be elected Lieutenant Governor of the state of Oklahoma, an office she would hold for 12 years. In this capacity, she focused her attention on issues affecting job creation and economic development, a consistent theme. She served 10 boards at that time and commissions involving business and quality of life issues throughout Oklahoma. Governor Fallon was elected to the U.S. Congress in 2006, where she represented the 5th District of Oklahoma. In her first session as governor, Fallon saw many of her legislative initiatives signed into law, including historic lawsuit reform, a bold plan to repair or replace all 700 structurally deficient bridges on Oklahoma's highway system, comprehensive education reform, and policies to modernize and streamline government operations. Additionally, the governor has launched the Complete College America initiative to dramatically increase the number of college graduates in Oklahoma to help the state retain and attract jobs. Governor Fallon also introduced the Oklahoma First Energy Plan, a comprehensive energy roadmap from the state, and has led the way nationally on encouraging state governors to convert their vehicles to CNG. A very impressive list of accomplishments. Thank you, Governor, and thank you for being here this morning. I introduce Governor Mary Fallon. Governor?
Good morning. Now I know all the brave souls in Oklahoma. They're out today. I was telling my table I had the opportunity to visit with one of our top ministers in the state just the day before yesterday, and he asked me what he wanted him to pray about for the state of Oklahoma, and I said, I gave him a list of things. I said, pray for rain. So we got rain, we got sleet, we got snow, we got thunder snow all this morning. It was kind of an interesting day, but Pete, I want to thank you and OG&E and all that you do. I know that you, your crew and your employees have a very busy day today with some power outages, and we appreciate all that you do for our state. You're certainly a great leader for the Chamber of Commerce. It's been a wonderful pleasure to work with you. And Pete and I had the opportunity to be in Stillwater just last week, and we were able to flip on a switch to the Cowboy Wind Farm for OSU's campus to be able to provide a major source of renewable energy for OSU's campus. And so that was a fun activity that we got to do at OSU together. So it's great to see you again, and we appreciate all that you do. And I also want to say hi to all of our elected officials. I see many of our statewide elected officials that are here today, and many of my cabinet members are here. We had a cabinet meeting yesterday, guys. It stopped last night, so I appreciate all of you coming. But, gosh, I have so many of my cabinet secretaries. I have Secretary Ming, our Secretary of Energy. We have Secretary Lopez, I think, is here. Somewhere there he is, Secretary Lopez of Commerce. We have CIO, or Secretary of Information, Alex Pettit, back there. And we also have Secretary Gary Ridley of Transportation. There you are, Secretary. Good to see you. Our Adjutant General, Miles Deering, back over here. Oh, we got the whole cabinet here. We could really get a lot of work done today. Our Lieutenant Governor was here a few moments ago, and he had to slip off to go give some other speeches, and all of our other elected officials. Did I miss any of my cabinet secretaries? Oh, our Commissioner of Mental Health, Terry White's here somewhere. There she is, back there. Got a lot of them out today, so thank you all for coming out. I appreciate that, and to all of our local and statewide and legislators that are here today, we appreciate you too and all the work that you do. And I want to say thank you to Roy Williams. Roy, we appreciate you and your chamber staff and Mark. And I know Derek Sparks and his team worked very hard today to make sure this breakfast happened. We were checking last night with the weather. Derek said, we're going to have this breakfast no matter what. I said, well, we'll be there. We'll have it. But thank you to your team and your staff for all the good work that you do to develop your legislative agenda. I actually read it last night. I kind of like to read those kinds of things. But we do use those for policy guides, and certainly appreciate and know the contributions that your chamber and your membership makes to the legislature, to public policy, and people like myself does make a great difference. So we appreciate your team and what they've done. And I got to say, your efforts are paying off. The Chamber of Commerce for Oklahoma City, if you look at how Oklahoma City is doing right now in the metropolitan area, it's truly a remarkable time to be in Oklahoma City in this area and to be in the state of Oklahoma in general. I've always had a great time going and telling the Oklahoma story and what's currently happening in our great state. If you look at Oklahoma City's unemployment rate and compare it to the major metropolitan areas around the nation, we have the lowest unemployment rate in the nation, which is very exciting. A major metropolitan areas, and it's been that way 19 of the past 23 months, which is remarkable. Forbes has listed Oklahoma City as the 17th fastest growing city in the nation, and it's been listed as a top spot in the Business Journal for economic rankings of major cities. So it's truly a great time to be here, and it's because of your hard work as a chamber and your membership and putting together policy to work with our elected officials to get us to where we are today. I was visiting with my 22-year-old son the other day on text messaging. He's a senior at OU, and he texted me this little thing. He says, "Mom, watch this video. It's really cool." I thought, "Oh, honey, I got some things going on today, but okay." You know, I thought, it's another YouTube thing, you know, how kids are. So I click on this site, and I really didn't pay attention to what the site said it was. And I turn it on and watch it. Now, this is my 22-year-old son down Norman. And it was your commercial. It was OKC's commercial. And it was showing all the wonderful things there are to do, the quality of life, you know, our business atmosphere, the building, certainly the Devon Tower, all the great things that are in your commercial. But my son was excited to see that, and he had been sending it out to various people because he was proud of Oklahoma City. And I thought, thank goodness, maybe he'll stay here after he graduates, because I want our young people to recognize, you know, the great quality of life we have and how exciting it is to be here. Another great story I love to tell, and this is actually from when the Thunder first started, and we're very proud of the Thunder, but our Commerce Department, and Secretary Lopez can vouch for this, but he had some employees who were, I think they were up in New York, and they were sitting in a restaurant, and there were two guys sitting next to this table where the employees were sitting, and there was a TV in the bar in the restaurant. And the two guys were sitting there talking, and the Thunder game was on. And it was during the playoffs, and one of the guys looked at the other guy, and this commerce employee overheard him talking at the bar, and he said, "Look at Oklahoma City." He said, "That looks like a pretty cool city. Look at the Thunder, and look at all those commercials about Oklahoma City." He said, "Do we have Oklahoma City on our list for our potential expansion of our business?" And the other guy said, "No, I hadn't really thought about that." He said, "Well, put them on our list." Just because of what he was seeing of our great development in the Thunder team. So there are great things happening and more to do, and that's been one of my top goals, is to continue to grow Oklahoma's economy, to not only retain our jobs that we have, but to create new jobs and to certainly generate more wealth and investment in our state and raise our standard of living for all of our employees. And so you have to look at the results. So what have we been able to do? And Pete, thank you for that introduction and going through those things that you mentioned. Since January of 2011, 2 years ago, we have created, as Secretary Lopez likes to put the list in front of me, we have created 62,400 new jobs in our state, which makes us the fourth best in job growth. Makes us the fourth best in job growth, and we have been able to surpass the jobs that we lost during the 2008-2009 on recession that our nation went through. If you look at our unemployment rate, it's at 5.1%. It's one of the lowest in the nation. Pete and I, as I mentioned, were in Stillwater this past weekend. Their unemployment rate's 3.7% in Stillwater. Remarkable. And we've got other good news stories like that, too. If you look at our median household income, that also is an indicator of how well your economy is doing. Our median household income in 2011 went up 9% by $4,000 for a family of four, ranking as number one in the nation in per household income growth. Another great sign that Oklahoma families are doing better and that our economy is recovering and getting stronger. So we're very proud of those numbers, and we're going to continue to push forward to even make them grow even better. But then you look at our state and our finances. That's also another great indicator. We'd gone through some pretty tough times when the national recession hit us. We had several years where we had a $1 billion shortfall in our state budget, and it wasn't easy for our legislators to close that gap. And when I came in office in January of 2011, we had a $500 million budget shortfall. Well, if you can imagine preparing your budget for your company and you got a $500 million gap out of a little over $6 billion budget, it's not easy to close that type of a budget gap. So we prioritized our spending that year. We focused on essential services of our state. We actually did give an income tax cut that same year while closing that $500 million gap, and the results have been, in that same time, we also had, let me tell you one other thing, we had $2.03 in our rainy day savings account, our emergency fund. You don't ever want to get to that position in your family or your household or in your business. $2.03 because of the economic downturn that we'd been through over the years. And we have gone from having $2.03 to a projected end of the year, fiscal year, at the end of June this year, that we project we're going to have somewhere around $680 million. So from $2 to $680 million in 2 years. That's good. So it's exciting, but once again, it's because we've been working on job growth, job retention, certainly on our fiscal policy at the state capitol, working on a good policy for businesses and education, our workforce. And so our challenge now is, how do we keep this momentum going? You know, where do we go to take Oklahoma to the next step? So I've been working with the Oklahoma Department of Commerce, and Dave Lopez has a tremendous team there. And we've actually taken all of our different job classifications in our state through our Employment Security Commission codes, ran it through a program which had, I think, Dave, you tell me, over 70 different fields, right? 70 different fields in that computer program. So we took all of our job industries, classifications, ran some numbers because I wanted to know, and Dave wanted to know, and the legislature will need to know this information. How do we generate the most wealth? What are the jobs? What are the industries that will help continue to raise our standard of living and create the quality of life that we want and also provide us revenue to be able to fund governmental services and make the repairs that we need to our roads and our bridges and education and all those other things? And so we did this detailed analysis of our economic clusters in our state. And I'll just tell you a brief overview. And granted, we have lots and lots of great industries here in our state, but these are the top five clusters of industries that generate the best paying jobs and raise best revenue in our state. Aerospace and defense, which is not a big surprise, and that's why we work so hard to protect our military installations and work with the aerospace industry. Energy, certainly, Larry, is very important to Oklahoma, and we appreciate how much energy has contributed to our economy, all forms of energy in our state. Agriculture and biosciences, the research, the development, agriculture, certainly very important, especially when one of nine of our exports in Oklahoma is of agriculture. Transportation, certainly very, very important to Oklahoma, transportation and distribution type services in our state. Information and financial services, our banking industry, those are all very important. And those are the types of jobs that will help raise our per capita income even more. And certainly there are biosciences and medical and all those other industries. Tourism, certainly one of our top industries. But the ones I mentioned are the true wealth generators that will help grow our economy and the ones that are truly helping us raise those numbers. So Commerce has developed this plan and a roadmap so that we can further dig down into the weeds as to how do we best target, and I know this is part of your chamber plan, our tax incentives, our different programs, whether it's the Quality Jobs Act, whether it's the Aerospace Engineering Tax Credit, which we finally got put back in 2011 too. How do we look at our rules, our regulations, Are they where they need to be, or do we need to fine-tune those so that we can create the best business climate? And how do we need to focus our education and our career tech and our skill sets so that we can have the best educated and the most highly qualified workforce to take these jobs and meet, frankly, the unemployment numbers that we have in our state? And to President DeSiger, we appreciate what you do here at Oklahoma Christian. Thank you for all your work here and helping us meet those goals. I don't want to forget to mention you and this great university. So this is what we've been working on, is looking at those critical infrastructures. So we now know that what the industries are, but now how do we meet the industry's needs with the workforce? And I want to visit with you a little bit about that. We've been working with our higher education institutions to bump up our numbers of our degree completion, as our superintendent says, our college, say that three words. There you go. I was forgetting the citizen. I had the college and career. I was forgetting that third thing, the citizen. We want to make sure they're good citizens in the state of Oklahoma. That's her term that she uses, and it's a term that's very appropriate for us. But we have launched, as was mentioned by Pete, a Complete College America program, which is actually a national model for our nation. Oklahoma is considered to be one of the leaders, to encourage more of our people who begin either to get an associate degree, get a college degree, to stay in college, and to graduate. We know in our state that we have over 70,000 Oklahomans that at some point in time went to college and for some reason dropped out. I mean, think what that would do to our workforce if we were able to get them to complete an associate degree or complete a degree and to get back into the workforce itself. Certainly very important. We're working very closely with our career techs to make sure that we have the type of skill sets needed, the certificates needed, especially for the energy sector. We know that we need welders, we need commercial truck drivers, we need computer information technology specialists for the aerospace industry, we need aerospace technicians. I mean, there are those who have job skills in the career technology fields that we also need, besides having the college degrees in our program. And then, of course, common education itself is critical, because if we don't get common education right, they're not going to be ready to start the career tech or start the higher education institution. So I'm very proud of the work that the legislature has done, and also the superintendent, to make sure we put a focus on academic standards, outcomes, transparency of our school systems themselves, the A through F grading system. While, our top goal with the A through F is to make sure that we have a measurement tool to know how our schools are performing, our superintendents, principals, our students, and to give parents a report, to give our communities a report. Now, we can fine-tune that. We can make it better. I'm always open for improvement. But let's not water down something good that we've done to develop higher standards in education. We've also got our end-of-instruction exams, the ACE program, certainly very important to our school systems, our reading schools, making sure children can read at grade-appropriate levels. Those are things that we've done. Making sure we have the most effective teachers in the classroom is certainly very critical. So a couple weeks ago, when I had my State of the State address, I asked the legislature to work with me to put funding towards these reforms so we can make sure we carry out the reforms. It doesn't do any good to pass legislation but not fund the programs. And so I put into my budget more money, to go towards education to fund these reforms and also some teachers' benefits too. And the good news is we just certified our revenue with the Board of Equalization this past week, and we have extra money in growth revenue for our state. So hopefully, Superintendent, we can put some more money towards education in our budget when we finish the legislative year. I know there's a commitment by the Speaker and the Pro Tem and many of our legislative members to continue to try to bump up the funding in education and frankly, some other core services of our state government itself. So I've talked about workforce, about where we are in our economy. Now I want to talk to you about some of the barriers to job creation and job growth itself. And one of the things I have the opportunity to do is to meet with top CEOs and businesses, not only from Oklahoma, but also from out of state. I was telling the gentleman at my table, I had the CEO of Michelin and Goodyear both at the governor's mansion from out of state this week to talk about jobs and what we could do to continue to encourage their further investment in Oklahoma. And we do that quite frequently to host people into our state. And one of the things I know from working with companies that are national and international and working in recruiting jobs from other states, which I do, is that people pay attention to our tax structure. You know, they want to know the level of taxes that we have in our states. And we have a great advantage in Oklahoma in that we are not raising taxes in our state compared to Illinois or California or some of the states up north and New York that are proposing raising taxes to balance their budget deficits. We're actually keeping our taxes low in our state. But we also know that Texas has no income tax. Kansas has lowered their income tax by a large amount, so we're kind of right in the sandwich of that. And then there are those states that have no tax at all. And we know that the best performing states that recovered quicker from the economic downturn were those who had the lower tax rates. And we know Oklahoma certainly has done good too. So I have proposed this year that we have an affordable tax cut that I think we can do in light of our other spending needs in our state, and to take our income tax this year from 5.25% down to 5.0%. And next year, we continue to have revenue growth. You'll see me propose another one. And the next year we have growth, we'll propose another one. But we're going to measure it because we are in a little bit of a time of uncertainty with our Washington, D.C. friends who are trying to get their act together. I keep telling some of these national people, I said, you know, I can't solve what's going on in Washington, D.C. with all the uncertainty they're creating in the nation, but what I can offer you is in Oklahoma, I can offer you certainty. I can tell you we're not going to be raising our taxes in our state. I can tell you that we're going to balance our budget, we're going to prioritize our spending, and we're going to do the things to create the better business climate, and it does work. It's why we're seeing some of the numbers that we have. The other issue I want to mention that I think is one of our huge barriers and has been for a very long time to economic growth in our state is our high workers' compensation costs. And that is no secret to any of us. For years, we have passed different pieces of workers' compensation reform, and certainly my first year in office, the legislature sent me what they could get through with workers' compensation reform. It's never easy to pass major changes in our system, but we did get some reform done. It did help some, but now is the year for the legislature to send me a major overhaul of our workers' compensation system so we can once and for all address this issue. And I've been meeting with the speaker and the pro tem and various legislative members, and I've told the speaker and pro tem, if you can get to my desk a bill. And, of course, our first and foremost goal is always to take care of injured workers on the job. We always want to make sure that we have a system that's fair to them. But we also know that Oklahoma is ranked one of the top states in the nation in workers' compensation premium costs. And that's not acceptable. That holds us back from jobs that might be grown here or recruiting new industries to our state when they see a chart that shows Oklahoma at the top of those workers' compensation premium costs. It keeps companies from looking at us. We know that. So we're going to have to do many things in our workers' compensation system. I've asked them to work on a bill, and they are. They've introduced bills that will lower our medical costs. We know that the cost of health care has been affecting our workers' compensation system. We've got to work on a system that reduces fraud and abuse. We got to work on our time delays when a person gets injured and when they get their health care benefits. We got to work on having a less adversarial system to where there's not a fight between the employee and the employer, that the employer can take care of the worker in a timely fashion so we can get more of the lawyers out of the system itself. And then we need to work on the system in general, and that is to work on moving towards an administrative system that will help us reduce the adversarial relationship that we have in our workers' compensation system itself. And I think that will be what will lead to a system that will be fair to the injured workers, fair to the employers, and help us create a stronger, more vibrant economy. So I've told our legislators, our pro tem, and our speaker, if you can meet those types of goals and do those things, find a system that we can afford and pay for. You know, I am going to be signing something like that. If you get a bill to my desk that does those things, you know, I am very supportive of that type of a system, and even moving towards administrative system if it can do those things. The other thing I want to mention that we've been able to do, and Pete, you mentioned this, was our tort reform. Certainly having lawsuit reforms has been very important for our state. Transportation's been another issue that we focused on. I want to thank Gary Ridley, Secretary Ridley. Thank you for your work on our structurally deficient bridges. We know that we have to have good roads and highways in our state, and that's the top goal of this chamber. Secretary Ridley has been able to reduce our structurally deficient bridges by 20% already, just since the past legislative session. So we're making great progress, and we're on track to eliminate our 706 structurally deficient bridges within our 8-year transportation plan, and our legislature gave us the money that we needed to be able to do that. So thank you, Mr. Secretary, for all your work on that. It's very important to our economy and the movement of transportation and goods. Awesome. Yes, please. I'm going to give a couple of shout-outs since my cabinet secretaries are here, because they do a super job. I want to mention about government efficiency, too, because that's been one of my top goals, is to make sure that we save taxpayer monies, make government work better for everyone, whether it's a consumer, whether it's our businesses. And Alex Pettit, who is our secretary, chief information officer of our technology systems, when I came into office, we found out that we had 76 different software accounting programs and personnel systems in state government. That makes no sense. I see Larry Nichols here. Larry, that'd be like Devin having 76 different software programs throughout your whole tower and not being able to mesh apples and oranges to do your financial planning and your budgeting. So we worked very hard, and Alex has been able to, I think it's at over 50 now agencies that you've been able to bring into a shared services, and we have already saved $68 million. Is it more? All right. And it's projected that once he gets through with all this, that we're going to have even bigger savings than that. So we're very excited about that. I want to give a shout-out to Secretary Mike Ming, our Secretary of Energy. He has done a super job of putting together an Oklahoma energy plan, a comprehensive energy plan, and it is already helping us save money. One of our top goals was to look at all of our state government buildings and to help them be more energy efficient. The legislature passed legislation I asked him to last year to mandate that we develop an energy savings plan for all of our state government offices and buildings and have a 20% reduction in energy costs. If we're able to do that, and we're on track right now, we estimate we could save taxpayers $300 million in energy costs, which will be great news for them too. And I want to give a shout out to Secretary Ming about our CNG, our compressed natural gas program, to convert our state fleets and cars and our trucks to CNG natural gas. Secretary Ming told me a story the other day. He said, I left Oklahoma City, traveled up, I think it was north somewhere, traveled around 235 miles, came back to Oklahoma City, and he said it cost him $5.38 or so. You imagine how much it costs you right now to go fill up with a tank of gasoline, but to go that distance and to be able to utilize compressed natural gas. So all of our different state agencies gave me a progress report, our secretaries, yesterday, and how many of our different state agencies have been able to switch to natural gas. And Oklahoma actually has more per capita CNG fill stations than any state in the nation because of our work. And now 23 other states, we had another state join us yesterday, are following our lead and being able to purchase natural gas vehicles for their state cars and state trucks. And it'll save taxpayers a lot of money. Plus, it helps our gas industry here in the state of Oklahoma, which we want to grow that and help create more jobs, too. And lastly, I'll just close with health, because I know we have our Commissioner of Mental Health that is here, Terry White, and our Commissioner of Mental Health, and our Commissioner of Health, Secretary of Health, is Dr. Terry Klein. And the other thing we have to do is work on our health of Oklahoma. It's good to have a highly skilled, educated workforce, but if our workers are sick, they're not as productive. If our citizens don't have good health, they're not as productive. And Oklahoma has typically been ranked 49th in the nation in health indicator outcomes. We have too much diabetes, too much obesity, we don't exercise enough, we have too much smoking, cardiac, vascular diseases in our state. And so we've been working with our Secretary of Health and Mental Health to develop an Oklahoma plan. We've had a lot of discussion around our nation about health and the federal government and the Affordable Health Care Act and what can we do in our state to change our health outcomes, to reduce our health care costs, and to have, frankly, less intrusion from the federal side into our health care system. So we've been working on an Oklahoma plan that will develop Oklahoma's own solution to improve our health. I was talking to Dr. Oz the other day. Actually, I'm going to be meeting with him on Monday morning of this coming week in Washington, where he has the National Governors Association meeting, and he has a national program to try to educate people to take care of their health. And one of the things that he's told me is that 70% of the illnesses that Americans face are related to our personal lifestyle choices, whether it's smoking, whether it's not exercising, whether it's too much sugar in our diet, whatever it might be, is related to a lot of our personal habits and stuff. We've been working on focusing on our health through our certified healthy businesses, our certified healthy schools, our certified healthy communities with Secretary Klein to educate people on how to take better care of our health, how to teach our children how to eat right, how to exercise, how to make better decisions. The other side of the coin on health is our mental health and our substance abuse, our prescription drug abuse that we have in our state. And we put $16 million more dollars into our mental health services of our state through my budget to look at our crisis centers so we can help people get the help that they need. Is it a mental health issue? Is it a psychiatric issue? Is it a substance abuse addiction issue? Or do we have someone that just is a criminal who needs to go into our correctional facilities for public safety? Look at our true needs of our society. Get them into the right systems of care. Have emergency crisis centers, which we do have, but not enough, to get people steered into whatever system they need to get the help that they need to have better health in our state. As all of you have heard me say, too, we're certainly under the Affordable Health Care Act, the federal program that Washington has proposed upon us. We are developing Oklahoma's own plan to meet the needs of that. I have chosen not to expand our Medicaid system through the expansion of taking more federal dollars, and the reason is that we know right now that if everyone that is mandated under the Affordable Health Care Act signs up for Medicaid, that are eligible right now, and they will be mandated to do that when the health insurances come into place this October. They're going to be mandated to sign up and then enter into the system in January of next year. It's already estimated that we'll see 60,000 new Oklahomans enter into our current system, and that's without the Medicaid expansion. That's just those that are eligible. It's called the Woodwork Effect. And we estimate through our health care authority it's going to cost the state of Oklahoma $40 million more dollars just to take care of those that will either have to pay a penalty or a fine if they don't sign up into the health care exchange that are eligible right now. And so those are challenges for us. So I've put in $40 million for the health care authority for the expansion of that, another $16 million into mental health services. It's $56 million into my budget just for health alone in our state. We're implementing our own programs in Oklahoma, and going to continue to work on that. I actually had a phone call yesterday by David Agnew, who is the governmental affairs liaison for the White House, and I have a meeting Sunday night and also Monday with President Obama and the administration on behalf of the National Governors Association, which I will become chair of in August of this year. And he asked me, call me, just me on the phone alone, and he said, I want to know what you'd like to talk to the president about. And I said, well, I want to just say that states need flexibility. Don't pass unfunded mandates down to our states. And we know you have a federal budget that you have to balance. We got to reduce our debt in our nation. We know sequester is getting ready to come up in the next week. But as you're making these cuts, and we certainly understand that we have to do that. We've done it in Oklahoma when we've had budget shortfalls. but give us some flexibility to be able to decide what's in our best interest of our state. Don't just tell us we have to do this program and cut our funding and then keep the mandates at that level. Give us flexibility because each state is different. Each state has different populations and employment rates, different budgets, different constitutions, different political climates in their state. Let us do what we think's best in our own state. So hopefully, when we go talk to the president this coming Sunday and this coming Monday, he'll listen to the governors. And that's a Democrat-Republican issue. It's not just a Republican issue. Democrats, too, are worried about having flexibility and the unfunded mandates and the cuts that we're going to see. But it's going to be an interesting time as we go through that sequester coming up. I'll stop right here because that's a lot of material. But I want to give you a brief overview of some of the things that the state's facing. And Pete, I'll be happy to take any questions if we have time for that. I covered a lot.
You pulled them over. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Get your pens on the table. Governor, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for your comments. You know, we are so fortunate to have a governor who is with such a strong background, so educated on our issues, and so dedicated to improving our business climate. We can really make things happen if we work together. But we have to do our part, and so I'm asking you to support the governor and her initiatives. Call your legislators. Know this is important. She talked about major reform and workers' comp. That's not going to happen without a lot of involvement from a lot of people. So let's support the governor and make her successful. Thank you very much. John, thank you for opening up university to us. Cox, thanks you again for your sponsorship. Please be safe driving home. It's a little tricky out there. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.